The following podcast is brought to you by Crosswinds Golf and Country Club in Burlington. Just 45 minutes from downtown Toronto, you'll find the most beautiful and affordable public golf course in Ontario. Outstanding customer service, million-dollar views, fabulous food and beverages, terrific driving range, and of course, a championship golf course that's always in beautiful condition. And if you book your tee time online rather than by phone, I love the phone, you save $10 per golfer. That's 40 bucks per foursome, enough to have lunch at the Back Nine Bistro. So what are you waiting for? A personally engraved invitation? Well, here it is. Go to crosswindsgolf.com, book your tee time now, save some dough, and when you get there, make sure you tell them Hebsy sent you. Now, Mike, let's start the podcast. Welcome to the Flintstones. No, actually, it's not. It's Hebsy on Sports, episode 299, and we're going back to the Stone Age. Hebsy here with Toronto Mike, and we're winging it today. Buddy, are we okay today?
Yeah, we're fine. I wish you were a bit closer to your phone's microphone.
Well,
but
why don't I just like go like this? Is this better, Mike?
Yeah.
Okay, so why don't I just do it this way?
Thank you.
I'll just do the whole show like this. Nobody can see me. I've got this stuck right up in my face.
Right. Perfect.
Really sorry to bum out the listeners, but that's okay. Lots of good stuff to talk about. Just we're doing it with tin cans. and chicken wire, tomato cans.
But we're doing it, Hebsy. That's what matters. We're doing it.
All right. Here's what's happening today. I'm going to fire everybody involved with it's not the internet. It would be my laptop here that won't accept this thing called the internet that keeps cutting out at the worst times and basically ruining my week. But we won't let that happen.
Right.
Because I got so much to talk about today. All right. Like the Blue Jays who have to step up to the plate or toe the rubber, or whatever it is, who's going to lead this incredibly talented team to the promised land? It had better be George Springer and Kevin Gausman, because they're the two highest paid players. We expect the most out of them. And by the way, can we forget about Looney Hot Dog Night, please? The guy sitting next to me was a protege of Joey Chestnut, for crying out loud. This guy was big enough to fill two seats, and we're giving him hot dogs for a buck each? Don't do that. We'll also get into the resurgence of the Wave in Toronto. The Wave. Think about how you feel about that. I'll tell you what I feel about it. ESPN is just falling all over themselves to tell us how great Serena Williams is. We know how great she is. But do we need to know that she went number one and not number two and lost weight and felt? Do we need to know all this stuff? Too much information. But these Americans really know how to stroke their own, don't they? And you can take that literally or figuratively. Wait until Serena gets to the quarterfinals, I say, before you really go completely gaga. All right? She's won two matches. She's going into the third round. Chill out, America. We're going to talk about the Canadian TV coverage of the LPGA tournament in Ottawa last week, and also the spotty coverage of our Canadians at the U.S. Open. I think we deserve better. Mike, sports media in general, I think, is very uneven these days, don't you think?
Oh, without a doubt. But tell me, like, what specifically makes you think that?
Well, I mean, just, you know, I think we're used to a high standard of sports report, of reporting in general. But I think when it comes to sports reporting, we want a high standard. You know, we Canadians deserve, you know, proper coverage. And in years past, we would get wall-to-wall coverage of all the tennis and all the golf that took place in Canada, for sure.
Right.
Now we don't. We do for Rogers when they do the two Rogers events concurrently with two separate and different crews running in Montreal and Toronto, which I think is ludicrous. I think have them all in the same city at the same time and go crazy like they do with the U.S. Open. But yeah, U.S. Open, for example, you know, who have you got? You've got Caroline Cameron there for Sportsnet, who they use for, you know, inserts and cut-ins on Sports Central, right? Which is a far cry from the way they cover the two Rogers events concurrently in Canada.
Right.
And for TSN, you got Mark Rowe there. He's on a desk, but he's talking to all the Americans. He's talking to Pam Shriver, Mary Jo Fernandez, all the ESPN analysts who are available for the TSN cut-ins, because TSN's covering it. But TSN needs like 11 channels to cover all of it. And, you know, you're waiting around for the Canadian results. I get that, but I don't know. I kind of miss the days when we really We covered it well when, you know, Rod Black and Jim Nelford and Sandra Post were doing all, you know, the Canadian Open, like wall to wall, ladies and men.
Is this cost cutting
now,
Hebsy? Is this just, too expensive?
Yeah, but still, man, we're losing out on it. It's unfair. We should know more about our Canadian players. And I'm not just saying because of Brooke Henderson last week. It's just that, like, the first round wasn't even on television anywhere. You know, there's a guy in Ottawa, JR, John Rodenberg, who I worked with years ago, works with Sean Simpson on the TSN station. And he was out there, and he was shooting on his iPhone, like, Brooke Henderson's shots. Like, nobody had any video. Like, nobody. On the opening day in Ottawa. It was ridiculous.
Ooh.
He did like four holes and then his battery ran out. I mean, is that the kind of coverage we should be getting? No.
No, we deserve better, Hebsy. And before, I know a lot of your fans are waiting for your take on these Blue Jays, but just before we dive into the Blue Jay coverage, I just want to thank you for coming out to my event last night and to tell you it was fantastic to see you there. It was always great to see you in the wild. Amazing.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me, Mike. It's always your peeps are great, and you always put on a good show. And I had to take off early because I had to go watch the end of the Denis Shapovalov match, because I had to serve the listeners of this fine podcast. And by the way, I'm compelled to say this: if you like the show, please rate and review it. You know, I'm not asking you, I'm not hawking you, you know, to, you know, make sure you, the sponsor, don't forget to patronize the sponsor. I'm not hawking you for $5 here, $10 there, or through a paywall or anything like that. All I'm saying is just do me a favor, rate the show, review the show, tell your friends, you know, post something. A couple of people, you know, at your event last night, Mike, came to me and, you know, said they were surprised. Oh, we didn't know what happened to Hebsy. Oh, and we found him on a podcast, sort of discovered it, however. Well, you know, if that's you, tell someone else. You know, tell your friend, hey, guess what? You ever heard of Hebsy? Remember him from the 80s and 90s? Well, he's doing a podcast. So, yeah, rate, review, share, retweet. Would really appreciate it. Would be nice. You know, and then I can, you know, maybe approach potential sponsors or whatever and say, hey, we've got, you know, lots and lots of great people listening and, you know, even contributing to this particular show.
No, great point. Great reminder. Just as long as nobody, you know, don't review the audio today. This is an outlier.
Right, right. And so this is the second time that this happened, but this has been worrisome to me. And I'm like, I'll take any suggestions. I'm at my wit's end. People at HP have not responded. And I know that it's an internal problem. Like that, I know. It's internal.
Like internal in the laptop. Okay. The laptop.
It's internal in the laptop because, as you know, the internet keeps cutting out. And Mike, I have, my internet's fine. It's Rogers. It's Bell and it's, you know, 10,000 gigahertz or whatever. And everything else is fine. But not through this laptop. Phone, no problem. iPad, no problem. Television. No problem. It's through the laptop. All right. So we're doing it. We're going rogue here today. Somebody posted yesterday a shot of Tony Kubek and Don Chevrier together. And I forget the caption. It was sort of like, I miss these two. Or any remember these two? And first thing I thought it was, oh. And then the guy, whoever it was, posted, you know, the late Don Chevrier and the late Tony Kubek. Oh. I'm like, no, Tony Kubek's not dead. He's alive and well in Wisconsin. He's 86 years old. You know, if he would have seen this, he would have croaked. Ugh. And that's the worst. You know, you'll see something, you go, uh-oh, something's trending, whatever. But anyway, I thought about how great those two were together. And believe me, Dan Schulman and Buck Martinez are fantastic. But Kubek and Chevy were different. They didn't work for the team. Tony had already, you know, been a regarded broadcaster for NBC doing the game of the week, and getting him on the Blue Jays broadcast was a real coup. Don Chevrier had never done baseball prior to that, but I don't think there were too many Canadian guys that had done baseball prior to that. And, you know, at first it was like, you know, home run. And you're going, well, who is this guy? He doesn't sound like Kurt Gowdy. But eventually these two were like top of their game, and Chevy, especially, who I knew pretty well, and died a young man, 69 years old. He was like the Swiss Army knife of sports broadcasters. He could do any sport and do it really well. He did boxing. He was a great boxing commentator. He did horse racing. He filled in for Howard Cosell on the ABC network on Cosell's show and hosted a lot of stuff. So I would say that if we're going over like all-time great Canadian sports broadcasters, Don Chevrier is right there. Don Whitman. Guys like that, like really multi-talented, like put them in there. Curling, football, basketball, maybe, you know, hockey for sure. Olympic stuff, track and field. You name it. These guys should do it.
It reminds me a little of who just retired, Steve Armitage. He's kind of a...
Steve Armitage.
I butcher every name I can. You know that.
Yeah. But yeah, I heard about that last night that you have... Did you know you had a speech impediment?
Yes, Hebsy, I did. Yes, I did.
I didn't... Never thought about it that way, but I'm sure we all have certain words that we, you know, we pronounce or pronounce differently, whatever. All right, let's get to it, Mike, here. Let's get to it. Your Toronto Blue Jays have been underperforming lately, and it's going to cost them the number one wild card seed and home field advantage if they don't turn things around, starting right now. Right? RFN, right fucking now. It's going to be starting pitching and defense. I know I'm hammering this at you, hammering it, pitching and defense. It's going to be starting pitching and defense that's going to take the Jays to the postseason. But their defense lately and their decision-making lately has been a bit spotty. And you know what? It's September. We can't have that. We cannot have that in September. A classic example was Wednesday night, which I believe was still October. Yes. Or August, rather. I'll be all right. The last day of August. August was a horrible month for this team. I don't ever want to see August again, right? But Wednesday night, runners at first and third, Cubs, two outs. And the runner at first breaks for second. And Alejandro Kirk fires a seed to second base. But he's not even looking the runner back at third. And I'm shocked. This is Little League. You let the guy steal second. You don't throw through. If anything, you fire that ball at the pitcher and hope the runner from third breaks down and you catch him in a rundown. But for sure, you look the runner back if you're going to throw to second. For sure. To make sure he doesn't score. But he did score. And Kirk looked like a rookie catcher out there. And it cost his team a run. And, you know, it makes me wonder. Would Jansen have done that? Should Jansen be doing more catching in September? But we got to get Kirk's bat in the lineup. But we can't get Kirk's bat in the lineup if Springer's DHing, if he's too hurt to play center field. That's why we got Bradley Zimmer back again for the, like you got three backup center fielders to George Springer. All right, so defense is going to be important. When Springer's out there and he's at his best, nobody's better in center field. You know that. But, man, when he takes a tumble, when he goes down, it's like, ugh. Anyway, Matt Chapman, unbelievable at third. He's been so good. Vladdy's been a beast at first base. I mean, he occasionally makes kind of a goofy play where maybe his positioning is wrong or his footwork is wrong, but that's because he's only played, like, what, 150 games at first base or 200 games in his whole career? So it's going to take time. Then there's Bo Bichette, who's not impressive to me and certainly not as a fielder. In fact, right now, he's a liability on this team, even more so because the manager won't give him a rest. Was this in his contract? Did Bo have a contract that says, I don't rest? Who do you think he is, Cal Ripken out there? He leads the league in at-bats. Did you know that, that Bo Bichette leads the American League in at-bats?
I did not know that. Wow.
He's not that good. Low on-base percentage, I think 305 on-base percentage. Last year, Bo Bichette was a 5.9 war. That's wins above replacement. That's the measuring stick now. He was 5.9. This year, 1.1. But, as I mentioned in the intro, the two key players in September will be George Springer and Kevin Gausman, the two highest paid players on the team, the two men who are signed through 2026, by which time Vladdy will have become a free agent, by which time Jordan Romano will have become a free agent, by which time other key players on this team will become free agents and may be gone. Depends on how the team does, right? But this team could be a monster by then. A monster. Even if they don't do it this year, but they better. But even if they don't, 2023, 2024, 2025, you got Vladdy, you got Romano, you got your key guys, you got Springer, you got Gausman. Maybe you get something out of Ryu, maybe not, I don't know. You got another couple of years with Matt Chapman. You got Gurriel. You got Teoscar. Man, this could be a good team. Could be really good. But your cornerstones are Springer, $150 million, and Gausman, $110 million. Signed through 2026. And Springer's got to be your center fielder, not twice a week, not three times a week, five, six times a week. Can he keep playing the way he plays and not get hurt? Because you got to have Kirk's bat in the lineup, and Jansen needs to catch more games in September. You got to give Biggio playing time. What about Espinal? What are you going to do with Merrifield out there? And as for Gausman, he's got to be the ace. Because as much as I love, and you love, and we all love Alek Manoah, keeping up this pace is asking a lot of the kid. He's on target for 200 innings this year. That's a lot. That's a lot for a kid that hasn't even come close to that. Gausman threw 192 innings last year that was tied for sixth in the major leagues, along with Jose Berríos. So there's your two anchor guys. There's your two innings eaters. These guys have pitched into September and into the postseason. So those guys and Manoah give the Jays an advantage in a three-game series over, I think, any team starting pitching. But more so if the Jays are at home. And you know what, Manoah, he might get a bit of a blow up. You know? Manoah, you know,
love it.
In order to be effective for the playoffs, you're really going to have to monitor this guy. I mean, he's 285 pounds. He's 6 foot frickin' seven. He's a rhinoceros out there, and he could end up going eight innings tonight, or he could start showing signs of fatigue and struggle to get to the fifth. I don't know, but he's going to surpass 160 innings after tonight. That's a lot. That's top 10 in the majors. Okay? The big fella goes against Pittsburgh tonight. First of three against the Pirates. And maybe the most beautiful ballpark that I've been to lately is PNC Park in Pittsburgh. Gorgeous. But Pittsburgh's a terrible team. They'll be lucky not to lose 100 games this year. And you know what that means? Trouble for the Blue Jays. Okay? Because we thought the Angels and Cubs would be pushovers, and they weren't. So the Jays need to put together a run, and now is the time. Two full games back of Seattle and Tampa. So those two teams battling for the top wild card spot, right? That's big. They end up playing each other. They're going to battle each other's brains out to see who gets top spot. And that means the Jays are going to finish in the final wild card spot, hopefully, if they make it, which means they're going to get, Cleveland, the division winner? That might not be so bad, even though they've got to go to Cleveland. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. There's Baltimore right behind us, a game and a half back. And the Orioles hosting lowly Oakland this weekend. And then the Blue Jays visit Camden Yards next week, Mike. And that might necessitate a road trip to Maryland.
Whoa. For you?
Not for me. Oh. Not for me, but for some many fans I know. It's a big series. The Jays are going to need help from the fans. Okay, if you're still in vacation mode, get to Baltimore next week, because those are going to be meaningful baseball games in September. Tomorrow in Pittsburgh for the Jays on the mound, TBD. I'm sorry, CBD, THC, TBA. We don't know. They don't know who's going to pitch. Is it an opener? I don't know. We don't know. Ross Stripling, we know that, goes Sunday. And the Jays have to win two out of three and hope that Tampa and Seattle and Baltimore falter this weekend. All right? And it's not scoreboard. It is scoreboard watching, but like in your device. Like, just a minute, honey. I'm just checking the score. Oh! We're leading. I got to get a bet down.
Hebsy,
Spencer? Oh, yeah, go ahead.
No, the tone, okay? So it wasn't that many Hebsy on sports ago where we were talking about, you know, Jays are probably getting the first wild card and we're going to host this series or whatever. Like very quickly now, we're hoping we hold on to this last wild card. Baltimore's...
Yes.
Like, come on, we made our managerial change. It doesn't seem to have been the magic bullet here. It's like how do you... I don't know. Like, this team... Did we play under 500 ball in August?
Oh, yeah.
Well, but if we did, it was barely. But still, like, that's,
pretty
I don't know.
Sure we did. Well, sure.
Okay.
We didn't play well at all. Think about it. We just lost 6 of 8 to the Angels and Cubs.
But it's a streaky team. Streaky team. Like, we go on these dips, and then suddenly we bang off, like, 7 out of 8 or something. Like, it's a very streaky team.
But so are other teams, Mike. Like, look at the Yankees. Can you imagine being a Yankee fan? You should feel secure. You're in first place. But the Yankees have been horrible. I mean, they were incredibly good early in the season, ridiculously good. But now they're horrible. Like, they're horseshit. Like, I tell you right now, Jays against the Yankees in any playoff series, I would take the Jays. Ooh. I would. Because without Aaron Judge, the Yankees are nothing. Oh. Anyway, Spencer Strider. Have you heard of this guy?
No, I've been out of the loop, man.
No one else has, really, because he's a rookie pitcher. He recorded 16 strikeouts in a 3-0 win by the Atlanta Braves over the Colorado Rockies last night at Truist Park in Atlanta. That's the most strikeouts by a Braves pitcher in a 9-inning game since 1900 and broke the previous by John Smoltz of 16. This guy's a rookie. It was his 17th Major League start. He allowed 2 hits, didn't walk a batter, struck out 17, and needed Mike 106 pitches. 106 pitches, 17 strikeouts, complete game.
Wow.
Are you shitting me? Wow, that's a masterpiece. That's a Rembrandt.
And don't bury the lead. That's a fantastic name, like Spencer Strider.
Isn't that a good name? Spencer Strider.
Wow.
And he's a confident, cocky SOB. Like they had asked him, saying, well, you know what? You know what? Like, what would be like a great game for you? And he's like, oh, 27 up, 27 down, striking out every guy on 3 pitches, 81 pitches. Is it possible? Well, it's possible. That's right. I'm like, who is the guy? Anyway, good for him. He's almost 24 years old.
Wow.
Okay? But let's compare this. Mm-hmm. Let's make a comparison about teams that are going places, organizations. Let's compare this guy who's almost 24 years of age, who is a 4th-round draft pick by the Braves and GM Alex Anthopoulos. Okay? Let's compare that with a just-turned 26-year-old in the Blue Jays organization who was a 1st-round pick in 2017 by Ross Atkins and appeared destined for stardom. Mike, can you come up with a name for this guy?
Yeah, let's call him.
Still in the organization.
Let's call him Nate Pearson.
Let's just call him Nate Pearson, who has spent more time on the injured list than on the active roster. He's been throwing down in Florida, rumors have it, through a sim game. Might have thrown an inning in the Florida State League. I don't know. He's supposed to get into actual action on a real mound soon. And there's some yutzes out there that are going, oh, maybe he can help the Jays in September. Are you fucking kidding me? Alex Anthopoulos won the World Series with Atlanta last year. Atkins is hoping to make the playoffs this year. Now, at Nate Pearson, we'd be pretty pumped. Can you imagine if we were going, hey, Nate Pearson struck out 17. But instead, Nate Pearson has pitched a total of 33 major league innings with an ERA of 5.18. So he's no Spencer Strider, that's for sure. And if the Jays think that he's going to be a factor to September or in the postseason, they're dreaming in Technicolor. Get off this guy. All right? I hope he makes a comeback. I do. I hope he makes a comeback. But baby steps, folks, if Nate Pearson can make a comeback and miraculously get his shit together, the best he's going to do is help the Buffalo Bisons make the playoffs. But in all honesty, you can't take a guy that's had 33 major league innings, and now he's going to come like gangbusters. He's ready to go. He's pitching off the mound through 3 innings in the Florida State League. The guy has thrown 7 innings all season long. 7. So please stop with that. I went to the Jays game the other night with my brother. It was loony hot dog night. It was gross. The grossest thing. Okay? Idiots wearing hot dog costumes, counting how many hot dogs they have, and then taking pictures of themselves wearing their hot dog costumes with indigestion. That guy next to me had to weigh 400 pounds. Seriously. 400 pounds. Now, saying bad things about large people? No, but I'm saying not only did he weigh 400 pounds, which makes it difficult when you're sitting in seats that aren't designed for people that large or their seatmates. So this guy, 400 pounds, went with his buddy who was about 100 pounds, and you're only allowed a certain number of hot dogs per trip, right?
Right.
So every inning, every bottom of the inning, now they show up with hot dogs. The guy who's 100 pounds, he eats like one hot dog. I might add 2. All right. And the other guy's got like his 2 and enough. So he's got 3. And then every goes bottom of the inning. 5 innings, I'm thinking this dude has already had 18 hot dogs by himself. He's had 18 by himself. He's so big, I have to lean as far as I can to my right towards my brother so I can even breathe. Because my ribs are and my lung is collapsing.
Wow.
Every time this guy got up to get more hot dogs, I let out a huge exhale. I could hardly wait for the inning to end. So this guy would get up and get more hot dogs. That's what a masochist I am. So later in the game, while this is going on, some goofball starts the wave while the Cubs are at bat, leading by 2 runs. All right? Now, I'm not a fan of the wave. And I get it when young people want to orchestrate one and try to create one of those fan experiences that'll last a lifetime. So a word to the wise. If you want to get the crowd jacked up, wait for your team to be at bat. And then perhaps your efforts to spur them on to victory will result in a hit. So you can cheer even louder. See how that works? The wave is to be used when you need a big hit, not when your team is in the field on defense. If that's the case, just yell out, defense, like in basketball. Think of it as a giant rally cap, the wave. You don't break out the rally cap when you're out in the field. You do it when you're at bat. And please don't do it when the guy next to me is 400 pounds, has at least 18 hot dogs in him, and wants to get up and down every time.
Oh, my goodness. So many things there. Firstly, that's a good tip. I think we just need to educate people because I am not anti-wave like you are. But I do like the idea that you only start the wave when the home team is at bat. Like, I think that's a good general rule. Do it while the home team's at bat. So I think we just need to educate people and, you know, let them know, don't do it while we're in the field. But the hot dog guy, curious question. Like, so this, whatever he is, 500-pound guy, like, so
400. I would say 400 pounds.
So where is he supposed
to
sit?
He had to wedge his rear end. I mean, he had to wedge his rear end in, like, from the side to get into that seat. He's spilling over. I mean,
yeah.
Imagine lean in your chair now. Lean as far right as you can in your chair, as far right as you can until your right rib is like poking up against something. All right, as far as you can.
Yeah, it's uncomfortable.
That's how I had to sit.
You could have sat on your brother's lap.
What's that?
You could have sat on your brother's lap, I think, in that situation.
It was very uncomfortable. And the other thing is, and I mentioned this before.
Yeah.
The dome is the worst when it comes to seats. They're not comfortable, but also they all face the 55-yard line of the football field. They don't face home plate. And so not only am I getting it from my left side from this, you know, the 400-pound hot dog eater next to me, but now I have to twist my head in the direction of home plate to watch what's going on.
Right.
It's like a yoga move, right? Think about it. You're going one way, this guy's pushing you one way, and you're looking the other way, twisting your neck. I don't know, I'm thinking a 20-degree, easy, 30-degree twist to the other way to see what's going on at home plate. Very uncomfortable.
Okay, the big question all the Hebsy fanatics are wondering right now is how many hot dogs did you eat at this game?
Zero.
Really?
I wouldn't tell. Are you kidding me? Do you know what's in those hot dogs, Mike?
Pig anus.
And the bread, the bun around them? That's poison, man.
No, I know. But sometimes when in Rome, you just sort of,
I wouldn't give you 5 cents. That's garbage. Wouldn't eat that stuff. I tell you what I would eat. And I did.
What?
Mary Brown's fried chicken.
Okay.
Sandwich. Spicy. Nashville spicy. Mike.
Yeah.
If they did $1, never mind that. If they did $10 Mary Brown chicken, Nashville hot chicken sandwiches.
Mm-hmm.
I'd line up. Are you kidding? I'd grab two every inning. Spectacular. Right.
Okay.
But a hot dog?
Yeah.
A hot dog that's made out of pig's ears?
Yeah, you know what?
Beef?
I hear you, man. You're right. Like, you're right.
I'm getting sick now even talking about it. I had zero, and I wouldn't even. Gross.
Okay. But
you know why? And that's why, Mike. People that go to those games are more interested in eating than watching baseball. Oh, it's a big crowd. Why is it a big crowd? They can get a bobblehead. They can get a hot dog for a buck. This is how we draw fans.
Right? Oh, yeah, yeah.
They're not going to just come to watch the baseball game, Mike. They're going to come to gorge on dollar hot dogs. And if you ask them what's in the hot dog, you know what's in that? Do you have any?
No, it's the worst. I know. But delicious, though, with mustard on it. I'm hungry now. But listen, Hebsy.
Gross, Mike.
When they had the 92 reunion since we last talked or whatever, And they gave out, like, bomber jackets or imitation bomber jackets or something.
Yeah.
But I saw on Twitter that people are like, it's 9 a.m. and here's the lineup. And I was wondering, like, how early would I get at a game for some replica bomber jacket or whatever? Like, I don't think you could give anything out that would get me to line up at the Dome at 9 a.m. I don't know. What about you? Like, what do you
think? Yeah, but again, that's you. Right?
Yeah, that's me. That's me.
A lot of people that are collectors, they also love to take pictures of them and show their friends, or they put them or whatever it is, because there's so many people out there that love to collect and can't get to the game. They're not from Toronto. They're from wherever. Right? And you put that online. I mean, I know guys on Twitter that are selling everything from hockey cards, every piece of memorabilia. Hey, I got this. You want this?
Okay.
And, but you're really not supposed to on Twitter. Or you shouldn't. But on eBay, I'm sure there's tons of them, the Vladdy Guerrero bobbleheads, the whatever kind of thing. That's why people go. They're not going to watch. I mean, some of them, of course, are big fans. But for the most part, it's like, well, let's go. It's bobblehead day. It's dollar hot dog day. It's whatever. Right? But it used to be, Mike, it was 20,000 fans. Now it's 15. Man, like, why don't you just give a jacket to everybody that shows up instead of having them line up at 9 o'clock in the morning? That's just stupid.
Yeah.
First 15,000 on hand, you should see what the bleachers are like. You buy a cheap ticket, you're in the bleachers. Half the people are sitting there have obstructed view seats because when the ball is hit in the air, you can't follow the flight of the ball.
Right.
Like if you're in the lower section of the bleachers, for example, at 200. Anyway, whatever turns them on.
All right, last question on this topic. If you're a 400-pound man and you want to go to the Looney hot dog game or whatever, what do you need to sit? What? You need to sit in those special seats for wheelchair access? Like,
yes.
Where,
okay. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. There are, listen, I first of all, in the new concourse, Mike, you've been now, it's a wider concourse. What happens is you can stand and watch the game in the concourse, but you can't stand right up against the railing, like right behind the final row of seats. You have to stand about, I'm going to say about eight feet back. They have it roped off, right?
Right.
And then late in the game, like eighth inning or so, they'll you know, the guy will move it and you can move up to watch, you know, the last inning or so. That area is reserved for wheelchairs or other people that, so they have separate chairs. They have those folding chairs.
Right.
Reasonably nice folding chairs with no arms that are padded bums and have padded backs. You know the ones.
Yep.
And they have a bunch of those. And so he could sit there.
But it's a little embarrassing, I think, though.
And then his size, mm-hmm. his bulk wouldn't be, what's the word I'm thinking of? Stopped by two armrests.
Right.
Two sides. It's a folding chair. You can sit comfortably with your legs further apart, however, you know, and your back straight and not worry about the person next to you. I'm sure you must feel self-confident that way too. I know I would.
Yeah, I know.
But you're a fan. You want to go to the game, right?
I hear you. There's room for the spread, like cheek spread. There's ample
exactly.
room for it. Yeah.
Exactly. So there you go. Okay. That's my suggestion.
I just wonder, I feel bad
for
the guy.
I didn't mean to offend this person. And if this person happens to be listening or someone's listening going, that's a buddy of mine. I know him. He was sitting next to Mark Hebscher. If that's the case, I apologize. But again, it was difficult. It was a difficult game to watch. Anyway, tennis now.
Yes.
And the U.S. Open rolls along with media, especially. Like, their coverage is awful. Roger brings a whole bunch of people to the venue. When they're not doing the tennis, as in most of the time, they send Caroline Cameron and a videographer to New York. Use her for some cut-ins on Sportsnet Central. Some interviews with U.S. tennis commentators, all the ones from ESPN. I guess, right? Hey, can you talk to me? Sure. We'll talk tennis. It was okay, I guess, but when they're in Canada, they talk to Canadians. They use Robert Bettauer. They use Sharon Fishman. They use, anyway, there's some Canadian content there. Mm-hmm. But in the States, it's ESPN. Let's bring in Mary Jo Fernandez. Let's bring in Pam Shriver. Let's bring in whoever we can get. James Lake, I don't know. And since TSN sent the majors via ESPN, they sent Mark Rowe to the U.S. Open with a desk. He sits on a little desk there, and he's sitting behind the desk with, you know, Pam Shriver, Mary Jo Fernandez, you know, doing interviews and doing lots of cut-ins because they have a bunch of channels, TSN. And he has to kind of go, okay, we're now going to go to court 17. Felix Auger-Aliassime is going to be on right after this. And coming up later, we have Bianca Andreescu, and we've got Denis Shapovalov coming here. And so he's kind of, you know, the traffic cop there. But I want to see more Canadian coverage. You know, we've got Chapo there. We've got, you know, he won yesterday, 54 winners, knocking off Carlos Baena of Spain. So he gets the number 9 seed, Andre Rublev, tomorrow in his third round match. That should be a dandy. But we've also got Bianca Andreescu. We've got Rebecca Marino in action. We've got Marino today. She gets the 33-year-old Zhang Shui of China in her third round match. That's a surprise. That's exciting. I'd like to see more coverage there. Later, Bianca Andreescu takes on the number 17 seed, Caroline Garcia of France, at 7 o'clock at Louis Armstrong Stadium. That's going to be exciting. In fact, I bet Bianca to win the U.S. Open at 19-1.
Wow. Like,
and all the top seeds are gone. They're all gone. Except for Shvetak, the number 1 seed. They're gone. I think Serena was like 29-1 the other day to win it all. Oh, by the way, did I mention Serena Williams? Did I?
Is she playing in this tournament? I didn't notice.
Oh, my. Is ESPN going ape shit over everything Serena Williams does? It's getting, like, way over the top. Like, if she reaches the quarterfinals, okay, but, oh, my God. She, like, did you hear the other day during the press conference, they're asking her these questions, and somebody asks, I don't know, what happened afterwards, the bathroom break, she took too long. And she's talking about her bathroom break, and she goes, oh, yes, I'm a lot lighter. But it wasn't number two. Like, really? We have to hear this
goat
all
shit.
All Serena all the time. Like, oh, my God, it's nauseating. Hey, come on.
Goat shit is a great, clever term for that. That's amazing.
But, I mean, really, Mike, I just think they're just going over the top. I mean, look, I get it. She is tremendous. And everything she's done, it's all great. But they're making her seem like she's a religious figure. Coming back from the dead to win a second round match against the number 2 player in the world, whose name I don't even know. I don't care if she's the world number 2. That's great. Serena was the world number 1 forever, and she's Serena, and it's the U.S. Open. The world number 2, Konkavite or whatever her name, she could walk into the studio wearing her outfits and her sponsors and her name on the back. I wouldn't recognize. I don't know who she is. All I know is all the top players are all retired pretty much. Right? Or they're just not, you know, effective players anymore. Right? Ash Barty said goodbye. Whatever happened to what's-her-name? You know, I can't even think of some of them. They've retired or they're taking maternity leave or they don't play anymore. Right? It's wide open. It is a wide open event. I'm telling you, Serena could win this. And so could Bianca. Hmm. Anybody's got a chance. But come on, take it easy. Okay? First, she's got to get by her third-round opponent, okay, Ayla Tomljanović, a Croatian-Australian. She's playing under the Australian flag. Anyway, so this could be it for the Williams. You know, I mean, Serena and Venus played doubles last night. The TV ratings, I'm sure, were off the charts. Oh, the Williams sisters are playing! Combined age, 84, right? Right? You know what I mean? Ooh, and doubles. I don't like playing doubles, but watching doubles, you know, not the same. Not the same. So this could be Serena's last stand. This could be it. Boffo ratings, ESPN milking this for all they can. Because if Serena gets eliminated, it's like, oh, now what are we going to talk about? We're talking about now. Nobody else. Golf Now, we're brought to you by Crosswinds Golf and Country Club in Burlington. Affordable public golf, scenic views, tremendous customer service are the hallmarks of Crosswinds. Go to crosswindsgolf.com. Book your tee time online. I haven't been there in a while. I've been playing golf out of town after the death of my mother. Getting away was a good thing. And so we got away. We went to Elliott Lake a few weeks ago. We were in Ottawa last weekend. Shout out to, in Ottawa, Kevin Hayne, the best golf teacher in Canada. In Ottawa. He's in Ottawa, the Kevin Hayne Golf Center. He gave me a lesson, a fabulous lesson, sent me a video of myself. This is what you're doing wrong. Don't do this. Do this.
Wow.
It was very good, very effective. So thanks to Kevin. And also, Equinel Golf is in Kemptville, Ontario. Mike, do you know where Kemptville is?
I do not.
Okay, so let's say you're going along the 401, and let's say you want to get to Ottawa, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And you're around the Brockville. You're in the Prescott area. You take the 416 north, right? The direct road to Ottawa.
Yes.
And on the way up there, is Kentville.
Okay.
Lovely little town on the Rideau, on the Big Rideau. Lovely golf course, thanks to the folks there. And ran into an old friend who you may know, named Bill Carroll.
Of course, Barometer.
Right. Well, Bill Carroll is the morning man on CFRA at Ottawa, the number one station up there. And he and his wife, Sylvia, have a beautiful place on the Rideau River. And Bill Carroll is a golfer. He's a golfer. Now, you could have knocked me over with a feather when I found that out. We had a wonderful time, Serena and I, with Bill and Sylvia, played golf there. And then spent some time at their place on the Big Rideau, overlooking the river, gorgeous. And the next day, we played Royal Ottawa Golf Course, where all of the big stars play. Jerry Dobson is a member there.
Woo! Wow.
So, yeah. So, thanks to Paul Carruthers, the director of golf there, for all the hospitality. And just beautiful. Like, really gorgeous. So, it was great to get away and play golf. But I'm looking forward to playing Crosswinds again. It's been a while, and I can hardly wait to get out there. The other thing I can hardly wait to see is the LIV Golf Tour, which is, I'm not going to say slowly, but surely. I'm talking with a bang, not a whimper. These guys are going hell or high water. They're poaching. They're spending. They're pissing people off. And they're not going away anytime soon. There are rumors that the Asian Golf Tour will be a feeder tour for the LIV Tour. And in fact, are going to establish themselves in Arizona. Okay? The Asian Golf Tour. So a lot of these players off the Asian Tour, they're going to end up being on the LIV Tour. Now, already the PGA, the Professional Golfers Association, has banned four Japanese Tour players who played on the LIV Tour this year. They've banned them from the Tour or the Korn Ferry Tour or Q School or anything associated with PGA. The LIV Tour is in Boston this week. PGA Tour is idle, of course, because the Tour Championship was won last week by Rory McIlroy. So in the interim, world number two, Cam Smith, who finished his career, or sorry, his season on the PGA Tour, finished, all done. That season is over. He is now joining the LIV Tour, and he makes his debut this weekend in Boston. Joining him will be the likes of Mark Leishman, Harold Varner III, Joaquin Neiman, Cameron Tregali, and others from the PGA Tour. Hideki Matsuyama, Masters champion in 2021, would also be jumping, but he is staying put for now. Very interesting.
Yeah, this is what we call a disruptor. This is a great disruption, which it's, from my perspective, it's just fun to see the fallout. I don't, you know, I don't care. I don't have a horse in this race or whatever, but we'll see what comes out of this.
Well, again, you've got them this weekend. They're not on, they don't have a broadcast television deal. They are shown on Channel 11 in Hamilton. But I don't know if they show every round. Do you know what I mean? I don't know what their deal is. They should. But that's the only, I mean, you've got to stream it, you know, to see it for now. But I got to believe that as time goes on, they'll have a television contract. They'll be able to be seen. I got to believe that. The ladies are playing the Dana Open in Ohio this week. Now, last week, they were at the Ottawa Hunt Club. Careful the way you say that, Hepsi. And that it's literally down the road from Smiths Falls, Ontario, where Brooke Henderson is from. Now, with all apologies to the other Canadian players, Brooke Henderson was the only attraction, except for the family and friends of Maud Amy LeBlanc and a few others. I mean, it was nice to see young Canadian players, don't get me wrong, but Brooke Henderson's the star. And she worked so hard. I'm amazed that she made the cut, quite frankly, last week, because she was doing so many promotional things. I mean, she's in town, what, once a year kind of a thing for a tournament, and now it happens to be the host club is right in her backyard. Incredible pressure. And her father even said after she was exhausted, like was lucky to make the cut, like did so much off the golf course. So think about getting tickets and requests, interviews and promotional stuff. It, you know, got to drive you crazy. And it's your national champ. So she's a, and she got off to a fun start. She started on the back nine, and she eventually got it to 4 under par after 13 holes of play. And then something happened. Something happened, it all washed over her. It's almost like what she had done in the previous week, all that work, all the, you know, it just took its toll. because she went bogey, 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 par, double bogey to finish at plus one after being at minus four. Yikes. Now, last week in Ottawa, our Canadian TV reporters had to compete with the Golf Channel coverage, which was non-existent the first day of competition. There were no highlights. There was no Golf Channel coverage. There was, you know, people who had their phones isolating on Brooke Henderson's, you know, approach shot. That was it. There was nothing to see, which was just a travesty. Can you imagine not being able to see Brooke Henderson, the greatest golfer in the history of this?
Hibbs, you there?
Canadian TV, yeah, I'm here.
Okay, yo, sorry. For some reason, we lost you for like 5 seconds, but we're in the home stretch here. We're good.
Thank God, man. This is driving me.
I was thinking, I have to bike over, get that laptop, and I need to fix this laptop for next week.
All right, you can do it. Can you imagine not seeing, being able to see Brooke Henderson? Because they don't have any rights. Do you know how much I miss Rod Black and Jim Nelford? Mark Zucchino and Zach Bosin. You know, I miss them. I miss that coverage. It's not the same when we go to the Masters or the U.S. Open and we set up there. It's not. The Canadians, our championship, we're leaving it up to the young from the States. Welcome to Ottawa. Come on. Anyway, that's that. A big NBA trade. The Cleveland Cavaliers get Donovan Mitchell from Utah. He's a superstar. Superstar in exchange for Ochai Agbaji, Colin Sexton via a sign and trade, Lauri Markkanen, the Finnish Flash, unprotected first round picks in 2025, 27, and 29, and first round swap rights in 2026 and 2028. All right, Donovan Mitchell to the Cleveland Cadavers. There you go. And before we go, Mike, LeBron James is waiting not for his son Bronny, who's 17 years old, to make it to the NBA. No, he wants the other son there too, who's 15. LeBron the third, or whatever the kid's name is.
Wow.
There's LeBron already talking. I'm going to stay in the NBA until both my kids are here. Gordie Howe.
Wow.
This was Gordie Howe. Gordie Howe played with his kids too.
Wow. He was
in his 40s. Kids were in their 20s. Right? 1973, I think it was. Gordie Howe played until he was 52. LeBron James and playing the NBA with both of his sons, never mind one of his sons. And who's ever done that in the NBA? Play with their father. I mean,
nobody.
But in the NBA? Come on.
Has there ever been a father-son duo in playing together in NBA history?
Well, that's what I, what did I just say?
Yeah, I know. I'm just
like in hockey, we've got the Howes.
Right.
Right. And in baseball, we've got the Griffies.
Right.
Right? But no. No. We got brothers, yeah, but father-son?
Wow.
In the NFL?
In the NBA. No. Okay.
In the NBA? Okay. How's that? I don't know. I don't think it's happened. But anyway, that's it for episode number 299 of Hebsy on Sports. Thanks to Toronto Mike for his patience and, of course, for his production and his inspiration. Hit him up at Toronto Mike. He's always got great guests on his podcast, and I'm sure a review of TMLXX is forthcoming. A big thank you as well to our sponsor, Crosswinds Golf and Country Club in Burlington. Book your tee time online now at crosswindsgolf.com. And if you like this podcast, even though we've had technical issues, even though I can't connect to the internet, and I don't a review, post it online, tell a friend, pass it on, share it, retweet it, go door to door, let people know how great this podcast is. Lie if you have to. Lie through your teeth, but please help a brother out. Thanks for allowing us into your headspace. Back with another episode next week. Until then, so long for now.